So we're just coming in hot today. DK getting a little sassy there in the chat. I'm Sean Stiers. He's Jesse Stiers as we start off this Thursday edition of IB Nation Sports Talk. Glad to have you with us here today. But DK, given 3-1 odds that I'm wearing my WKRP t-shirt. Jesse, do you remember what shirt I had on in the back room as we were getting ready to start this show?
No, it wasn't the WKRP shirt, though, was it?
No, it's not. It would be
that
red.
One's red. Yeah, that one's red.
Not WKRP today. I don't know where this came from, DK. But I did see people talking about Les Nessman and the Mr. Carlson has got as my witness. Matt has got as my witness. I thought turkeys could fly. We are coming up on that. I mean, that was a Thanksgiving episode of WKRP. So we're just a couple of weeks away from that. So maybe I'm saving WKRP for that. Maybe I'm retiring the WKRP t-shirt.
Who I don't knows? Think you would do that.
You don't think I'd do it?
No.
I just might. If you kids don't watch yourself, how you doing today?
It's Friday Eve. I'm doing great. This week's been really easy work-wise. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in a role now where, like, if I have a ton of work and the people below me don't have a ton of work, I just pass it off. And it's better that they have – they're filled up with work, and I might not have as much work, but that's fine. That's kind of how it's supposed to be. So,
okay.
Just waiting for projects to really kick off. I was telling you about that one I'm going to have in Bel Air, Kansas. Mm-hmm. That will be fun. I have another one near like Richmond, Virginia, that's starting here soon. But until those like fully break, I am enjoying kind of not having to work strenuous hours every week. Tomorrow's payday. Third show of the week. I thought Vince and I had a fun time yesterday with the mailbag and the rapid fire and all that good stuff. So, you know, I got no complaints.
I caught most of rapid fire. Didn't hear the mailbag. Maybe I'll surprise you with something that came up in rapid fire yesterday in our own rapid fire.
Okay.
We've got we in, we out questions coming up in a little bit. We're going to start with Marcus Freeman. Comments. Joe says WKRP is a poor man's friends. That's interesting. A little bit different. But, you know, WKRP wasn't everybody's taste. That's why it only lasted for like three seasons or whatever. But, you know, like back then, that's when they made 25 to 30 episodes of TV per season back in the 70s and 80s. So it was basically like today, that's worth what? 5 to 8 seasons of, you know, like if you make a 10-episode season these days, on the streamers especially, I mean, you're going overboard practically. So,
how about Kate Koval last night? 6 blocks.
How about her? SWAT party. Man.
That's a lot of blocks. And 16 rebounds, that's the definition of getting big.
First double-double. She was very big. And it was interesting. I don't know if you got to see any of it or listen to any of it, but the post-matchup was Kate Koval from Ukraine and James Madison had a Russian from Moscow.
Kozlova?
Kozlova. Kozlova, I believe. Ah. Yes. Yes. Hey, before we really get going here, I do want to tell you about my bookie, the one book that's got your back with no fluff, no second guessing, just straight up action and you in total control. And my bookie, it's never been about guessing, it's about giving you the edge. So, every bet you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football and you love to win, well, quite frankly, my bookie was made for you. And if you're new, step up. Use our promo code IRISH. That'll double your bankroll with 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. That's more money and more power to make winning plays. That is the promo code IRISH. Bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with my bookie.
Speaking of my bookie, have you looked at any matchups this weekend? Any odds that strike you? Any matchups you're like, that could be interesting?
I haven't looked deep. I've had a lot of other stuff, like a basketball game yesterday. I tell you what, like 2 basketball games in, what was it, 4 days? And also this show, like the week gets scrambled a little bit. Let's just put it that way. So no, the only line that I saw that really, and this is probably the only line that I've even looked at this week, BYU is only a 2.5-point favorite at home against Kansas.
That is correct. That's one I was going to mention as one that I've noticed. And the other one that I've noticed is Arizona State is an 8.5 dog against Kansas State. And both of those teams are 7-2 going into that matchup. So a couple Big 12 matchups that I'm looking at early on. Might have to throw those together with the parlay on my bookie. Last week I had that nice my bookie bet that hit when I took Georgia Tech to cover the spread against Miami, and they did it and they won it, and that was great. I've won a lot of money off of that.
Nice, very nice. I'll have to look. I got to make my picks still, and I got to get those. I got to get it actually. My picks sent to Brian. I think we're only picking like Notre Dame and two other games this week. Not a lot.
I'm guessing Tennessee and Georgia will be on that slate.
Pretty sure it is. And I can't remember what the third one is. But
probably if I had to bet, it would be Pittsburgh and Clemson. That sounds right.
Let me look here and see if I can find it real quick.
That's another one that's interesting. No. Clemson's favored by 12 at Pittsburgh, and they both have a 7-2 record.
Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Florida, and of course Notre Dame and Virginia. Those are the only three games we're picking this week. So look for those. Yeah, Joe was thinking of the wrong show, by the way. He said, wait, is WKRP the one about the psychiatrist from Cheers? No, he was a talk show psychologist, you know, psychiatrist or whatever on the radio. But yeah, wrong. He was on the radio anyway, but wrong show. All right, well, let's get into some things that Marcus Freeman talked about today in his noon Zoom, starting with Jack Kaiser, set to break Notre Dame's record for games played with his 63rd career game this Saturday.
Obviously, Jack is special to me just because he's the only player in his program I actually had a chance to coach as a position, you know, be his position coach. And to see his growth as a football player and a leader over these 4 years we've been together has been tremendous. He is truly a Notre Dame man. He's obviously a guy that grew up here in Indiana, but just really reached his full potential. That's a guy, what I think about individuals that reach their full potential, Jack Kaiser has definitely done that. And he's been an unbelievable leader. He's made this place better, and he's going to leave this place better than he found it. And so, really, it's going to be a great moment for him. But, you know, he's got a lot of memories that he's made here at Notre Dame.
A lot of memories and a lot of mileage. 63 games. I don't think anyone's ever going to break it once he's, you know, because obviously he's going to keep going for the rest of this. He's still got basically three games in the regular season, got, you know, playoff games and all that. I don't think that record's ever going to be broken, do you?
No, I don't think that record will be broken. I was just kind of doing some math. He's already at 64 games. That's essentially five full seasons if you include the bowl game.
That's true. And, I mean, 62 tackles last year was his career high. He's at 49 right now, so he's going to set up, you know, career high in tackles. He's leading the team in tackles right now. And, you know, he's just – you brought him back for what he's given them to kind of help, you know, sort of solidify, stabilize, basically be a coach on the field for these young linebackers. And, you know, as good a coach as Max Bulla is, I think that you can make a case that the development of these young guys, that Jack Kaiser's played a big part in that as well.
Definitely. They, you know, the linebacker core for Notre Dame this season was going to be extremely talented. It was just going to be extremely young. And you needed someone like Jack Kaiser to be kind of the backbone of the defense and be, you know, kind of a learning board for these young guys to bounce off questions to, you know, he can lead by example, showing these guys how to get the defense lined up and all of those things. And, I do believe that Jack Kaiser will go on to the NFL as well. I don't know if he'll get drafted, but I think he'll at least make, you know, a training camp roster and have the potential, you know, to make an NFL team at some point. But it's really cool to think about because when I was reading this question, the first thing that came to mind is just like how awesome it is that he got to spend so much time playing so much football on the best place on earth, you know, to, in my eyes, and probably in his eyes too. I know he, growing up in Indiana, it was, you know, a childhood dream of his. And so to maximize that time and utilize it as much as possible has to be like, he has to have no regrets at the end of the day. And that has to be something to feel really good about.
You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Royal Center, Indiana, where he's from. It's a dot in farmland, southwest of South Bend, basically. And, you know, he showed up, you remember, in, was that episode 2 of the Here Come the Irish series? And you kind of got to see him out there farming and all that kind of stuff. I think he's going to be fairly borderline. Joe's asking about draft worthy. I think he's going to kind of be on that bubble. What do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hinting at. I think he could be a late round guy. I definitely think Bertrand was better, and I think Bertrand got a little bit more. Where did, I can't remember. Where he, I think he went 5th round to the Falcons.
Yes.
So I would see him really being that last day kind of 7th round guy, but again, even if he doesn't get drafted, I think he'll end up being, you know, a basically an undrafted free agent, essentially, and he'll end up on someone's training camp roster.
Yep, 63 games, going to break the career record.
I think the biggest thing, especially that's going to be on his resume, is, and this is what I think a lot of people found impressive about Bertrand and Maris Leofel in this past draft cycle, is the understanding of high-level defense, you know, and I think that kind of bridges maybe some of that athleticism gap where he can get in and understand an NFL defense system earlier and be able to kind of navigate, and that's because of Al Golden and the defense that he's been running at Notre Dame. So I think that is, it's worth taking a shot on someone like Jack Kaiser from an NFL perspective because of the knowledge that he has at the end of the day.
No, that's a good point. I mean, that's obviously what elevated Leofel's stock so high, was just the defense that he played in, his ability to comprehend the system, know where he needs to be and all that kind of stuff, even though not everything was always perfect. That helped, him. And I think that, like, the speed is going to be the biggest thing for him. Is he going to be fast enough to play in the NFL? You know, the comprehension is going to be there, but at the very least, he's someone who can definitely fill a lot of roles on a special teams unit as a young guy, you know, if he's able to make a roster. So, but I think he's going to be, you know, he'll be a day 3 type guy, assuming that he does get picked. But
what do you think his 40 time is?
Man, I don't know. I'm not good at predicting that kind of stuff. What do you think?
Well, I looked it up, so I cheated. He's about a 4.65.
I would have said 4.8, you know, after you said that, but 4.65, not far off. And that was when he was being recruited, right?
No, it says he ran it at a pro day, but I don't know if he just participated in a pro day last season, just kind of being out there, but I don't know when that pro day would have been.
I have no idea when that would have been either. Interesting.
Oh, no,
he was still a high school guy, and he was playing quarterback and defensive back. He was several pounds, you know, he was like 40 pounds lighter probably at that point when he was.
Sorry, that was not a pro day. O standard for other, so it must have come.
Get your stuff right. Get your story right. Come on.
I'd say he's probably a 4'7 guy now.
I'll stick with 4'8. We'll find out. Well, we got about 5 months till Notre Dame's pro day comes
just
around.
About.
Yeah. Well, the defensive line, the interior especially, is going to look a little bit different this week because Howard Cross is going to be out after injuring that left ankle last week. And so you kind of look at things. No Cross. Expect to see, we will see more of Gabriel Rubio. As of right now, Donovan Heinisch is at the top of the depth chart and Rubio is behind him. And the question came up today about seeing more of Rubio at that defensive tackle or slash nose guard position.
Yeah, we're not going to move him out to the Viper end position. But, yeah, you'll see Donnie Heinisch in there, as you've seen the past couple of weeks. But you'll also see more of Gabe Rubio. Gabe can play three tech or nose. He can play both of our tackles position. And you could see Sean Sevillano and Armel Mukum. And so all of five of those guys, including Riley, have had a great week of practice in terms of the preparation for this game. And, yeah, there's a chance you can see all five of them.
Do you have any concern for the interior defensive line without Cross?
No, and I think the biggest reason I feel comfortable is Gabe Rubio being back. I think he provides a ton of depth at that position. And like Marcus Freeman said, his flexibility between the three tech and the nose will also, I think, prove to be important. But the other kind of reason that I'm not too concerned is what sign do I have to be concerned defensively about the depth at, you name it, position. It feels like they've had kind of some issues, obviously, at Viper defensive end in terms of injuries. The secondary has had some injuries, and it's just been next man up. They keep going. And to me, that's the most impressive trait of this Marcus Freeman tenure in year three, is we are now seeing quality depth at every position. It's not just your one and twos. You have confidence in your threes and fours as well. And what's going to get them ready is a good week of practice. And that sounds like, you know, what's been going on this week. So I'm excited to see maybe some of those younger guys, Mukum, Seviano, stepping up and getting an opportunity, you know, at home against a lesser opponent. I'm not going to say a bad opponent, but a lesser opponent. And I think that also helps too when you're playing a lesser opponent.
Yeah, I mean, should at least be a better opponent than the one that we saw last week, but something very similar is a lot of sacks allowed. Anthony Calandria, the Virginia quarterback, has been sacked 30 times this season. 30 times.
That's about three per game?
Yeah.
Three or four a game?
It's very, very similar to Florida State last week. And so, you know, I think that especially like the way Donovan Heinisch played last week, maybe the best game that he's ever had. And Rubio, you know, with that big body that he's got, I think they'll be just fine this week. I think that Joe said going to need him for Army. I think that's the bigger thing, is getting him back for Army next week. Much more important next week. But even then, you know, again, like you get that big body Rubio, I think they'll be fine. I don't, like, if I was going scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably put it at a 2 or a 3. You know, like Howard Cross is very good, but going up against who they're going up against this week, not a vital concern by any means. Little update on Benjamin Morrison, who, of course, has been out. It's already been about a month now since he had his hip surgery.
Well, he's doing well. He's recovering. He's walking without his brace. He's coaching. You know, he's become a coach for us for that corner's room. And he's really working hard at just rehabbing. And we had our captain's meeting on Monday. His mind's in a great spot in terms of where he is physically and mentally. But I don't know if he's on track or ahead of schedule, but he's really, really doing a good job in terms of, you know, trying to work his way back to recovery and where he can run and start doing some football things.
That's interesting. Just kind of hearing that last couple of sentences there, Jess, you know, like being able to do some football things and getting, you know, like, whether he's on track or ahead of schedule, it sounds like things are going very well in terms of recovery. Does it give you any more reason to believe that he's going to be healthy enough to declare for the draft when you hear that from Marcus Freeman?
I think, honestly, that's what they're, you know, working towards. That's the end goal, is getting prepared for the NFL draft. And I think that's ultimately what made, you know, the final decision and trying to establish a timetable for when he can, you know, realistically get back. So, you know, I do think it makes me feel better about his declaration for the draft. And I do think when you're not asked about when he can start doing X, Y, and Z, and you voluntarily say, you know, he's going to start getting into X, Y, and Z, I think it kind of shows that there is going to, like, this isn't going to be a further issue, right? Like, this isn't a lingering issue, and he's going to be ready for, like you were saying, he's not going to say it because that's Benjamin Morrison's, you know, choice and decision and announcement to make of when he wants to and if he's going to declare for the draft. But ultimately, that's, you know, what they're working towards.
Yeah, and, you know, like Jeremy is and Tom are kind of saying, you know, hopefully he comes back. Guess it'll be how he grades out. I mean, he'll get his draft evaluation, but that's based on who he was as a healthy player. You know, the question is going to be now, you know, he's not going to get a grade in terms of how healthy is the hip. You know, like you don't start doing the physicals and all that kind of stuff for the NFL teams until you actually go to the combine. And if you go to the combine, that means you have entered your name in the draft. So it's just kind of a dicey situation for, you know, for Morrison in terms of the decision that he's got to make, but only he's going to know just how healthy that thing is. And, you know, what, you know, how healthy he thinks he is in terms of being able to go forward.
I mean, yeah, like selfish reasons, you do want him to come back, but
absolutely.
You gotta, you know, this guy's been getting first round grades ever since his freshman season. So, you know, it's his time. If he can prove, obviously that's got to be the biggest concern right now, right? In his evaluation is now you've kind of had multiple injuries throughout the college career. Can he stay healthy? And what does he need to do to, you know, continue to stay healthy, essentially? I think it more becomes injury prevention type talks. Does he need to change, you know, how he goes about his off-season conditioning and strength training, et cetera? So
we've seen a better-looking team on Saturdays for the last several weeks. What are they doing early in the week? What are they doing Tuesday and Wednesday to get to that point?
Myself, so many people want to know, like, what's the one thing? And the reality is there's not just one thing. It's the consistency in doing what you've been asked to do, right? What your task is. And it's a mindset mentality. It's never perfect. I told him yesterday, I want a perfect Tuesday and a perfect Wednesday. That's what I want. That's what we want. But it's never going to be perfect. But can we really focus on staying in the moment, like on this play, on this rep, being intentional? The plans are the plans. Like, they change very slightly each week. There's nothing I've done in terms of the plans that has contributed, I believe, to the success. I think it's just the intentionality of the way you work, right? Your routines are usually the same, right? Your routine, what you do every week is the same, but your intentionality of doing those routines have to continue to improve. And so if we have a 15 period practice on Tuesday, every Tuesday, right, can we make sure that the way we focus and our intentions during that one period of practice is better than it was the week before? And it's that constant reminder. It's that constant mindset. There's the natural improvement that happens over time, right? Through experience, there's natural improvement. But, you know, can we continue to improve faster by really making sure we're intentional with how we're practicing, how we're focusing, the meetings that we have, the understanding of what's expected? All those things contribute to the constant improvement, I believe.
Okay. So that was roughly 90 seconds there, Jesse. What did you hear?
I didn't really hear a direct answer.
I didn't either. But the closest I can decipher is like work smarter, not harder, I guess. That's kind of the message that it seemed like. I don't know.
To me, it felt like the consistency of just giving your 100% at practice every day. I think when you get into a mindset of not practicing hard or working hard every day, that can lead into, you know, feeling like you don't have to give 100% in the game or feeling like you can flip the switch in the game. But if it's something you haven't practiced all week, you can't just flip that switch. And so it's the consistency that Marcus Freeman is asking for of coming out and giving your, you know, your top performance every Tuesday and Wednesday. But I mean, if Marcus Freeman could bottle up what it takes to give your best performance every Saturday, as a result of what's being done Tuesday and Wednesday, he wouldn't. He would sell it and be the richest guy in the country because he could sell it to every coach, right? So I think that's the constant battle, and I think that's something that Marcus Freeman has alluded to in the past of what keeps him up at night is, you know, avoiding those letdowns. How do I make sure that, you know, regardless of win or loss, we are still putting our best effort and giving our best, you know, playing our best every Saturday, right? I think that's what it comes down to.
Like Michael said, there was some salad in there. Like Joe said, some coach speak in there. I mean, that's kind of
that's who he is, though.
Comes down to. No, I mean, that's absolutely it. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah, but like you said, if he could figure that out, if he had some secret formula, then everybody would be beating down his door, you know, trying to find out the secret recipe, right? The 11 herbs and spices, or
whatever. Right?
Because like everybody wants it. Only one team finishes as the national champion every year, so they're all trying to figure it out, I think, as they go along. But you know, again, the team has looked better over the course of the last month or so. Well, I mean, more than just a month, I guess. You know, it's been trending upward ever since week three. So outside of opening drives, Al Golden's defense has pretty much dominated this season. Golden said this week that it's kind of about getting the opposing offense off script. You know, that's what you have to get to. Get them off their script, because everyone's got their script when they start the game. So Freeman talked a little bit about how you do that.
I don't think more than anything, what you don't want to do is make something up that you haven't seen, right? And so you have to have a good plan defensively that really, in that first drive, can answer anything you see on offense. Some teams have done a good job on that first series and done some things we haven't saw. But the thing is, how do you respond? How do you get those adjustments defensively? And how do you make sure you have a good plan? So we got a good plan going in. We're going to have to adapt and adjust. It's just a game of football based off what their plan is and what their plan of attack is. But there's not one thing that we could say, hey, if we do this in the first drive, we know we're going to stop them, right? If we knew that, then we would call it every single time. But we got to make sure we have a good base plan that can settle our guys down no matter what formations you see offensively.
I don't know. Kind of seems easier said than done, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Freeman, and he's correct when he's for what he's alluding to in this response is, you know, all we can do is play our base defense and adapt our base defense based off of what Virginia or, you know, ex opponent is doing.
Whoever the opponent is, yeah.
But also, what he's getting at is when you're Notre Dame and these teams are coming in as underdogs and you're a top 10 team in the country, and they know you have a top 10 defense in the country, you can't just do the same stuff that you've been showing on film every week. And
they're going to try to throw some stuff at you. Yeah.
Unfortunately for Notre Dame, and this is why it works for other teams, is when they script out that first series, they're going to do stuff that is outside of their base offense. You know, trick plays, maybe some little things here and there. But you can't, as an offense, do that the entire game. You know, like that's just, it's just not going to work the entire game. And so these teams get out on Notre Dame early, their defense early, because they're just basically running stuff that Notre Dame hasn't practiced all week, right? And so what Marcus Freeman is saying is, even if we haven't practiced it, our base defense needs to be sound enough to react to whatever is given in front of us. And so, you know, what happens is they get off during that first series. Defensive guys will come over to their position groups and D coordinators and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This isn't what we practice. They'll draw up how they're going to cover it, and then it's fixed the rest of the game. And that's ultimately what you see out of the Notre Dame defense is they just fix, you know, they adjust their defense to what's being shown. And then, you know, when that team reverts back to their base offense and Notre Dame's defense has already practiced that the whole week, it's really just stagnant football after that.
Yeah, and these teams, you know, pretty much every team comes in, they've got their script. It's like their 14 plays or whatever it is. And those are the plays that you're practicing the most during the week, the ones that you're repping out the most during the week, you know, probably after they've pared things down a little bit, figuring out what works the best for them. And then, you know, like you said, you give them a different look on that first series, and then you get off script and you get punched in the mouth, and you get what Notre Dame's defense has given most teams all season long, which is predominant mistakes for the rest of the game. That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, that's just the way that it's worked out. So, I mean, that's.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
That's pretty much what it is. I don't know. You know, there's not too much more to go on that. Sly Fox, apparently you said something. You let the cat out of the bag about getting married in October next year. I saw somebody on the YouTube page make a comment about
that. I was getting a lot of heat for this one. And luckily, you know, Vince was also giving me heat for it because it's the Boise State game next season. But, you know, it is it's funny. I've had this conversation, and I won't go too crazy into it, but if you can't give up football for one day, I think you're the problem.
Zing. Coming in hot.
It's one day, you know? If you're saying that football comes before someone that has been an influential part of your life for 30 years, then, you know, that's on you. Like, record the game. I don't know. You know, it's not that detrimental.
Sly Fox says you're whipped. I mean,
I picked it. I was a big guy. Like, this was, I had no issue with sacrificing a Saturday, especially in the fall, because didn't want to get married in the late winter, be way too cold. Didn't want to do it in the dead heat of the summer, be way too hot. I'm already a person that runs hot and sweaty as is. And so the fall is the perfect combination of nice weather, low temperatures. It'd be beautiful outside. So,
and the one thing I'll say, because I'll just say there were other dates they were trying to get in September. I know, and I don't know if there were bye weeks then. I have I have no idea. I'm not planning this wedding. I'm not paying for this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, you know, people can come at you all they want, but until they're the ones shelling out the cash for the venue and, you know, everything else that comes.
It was the venue specifically wanted. Dates were starting to go very quickly.
That's right. These, like, it's amazing just kind of like what knowledge I did have of you guys trying to get this planned and booked and everything else. How quickly these venues go, and you know, like just the price that you pay for some of these venues and just availabilities more than a year out, all that different kind of stuff. So you do what you got to do, man. That's what it comes down to, you know, and like, look, like everyone's giving you a hard time because of the fact that you're doing this in October, you know, my and your mom's anniversary date, obviously August 7th. And when we were getting married on August 7th, I never thought about the fact that less than 10 years down the road, like, oh, that comes right at the start of Notre Dame training camp. You know, like that's that's always going to be a part of it, you know. So they're just, there's always something. There's always something. It's one time. The rest of your life, you don't have to worry about it.
So. There's just so many Saturdays I've watched college football in my life, and I'm okay with sitting one of them out, you know.
John says you get married during the bye week. Well, you don't if you want the venue and the venue is booked during the bye week, John. That's like, again, sorry.
I got some heat during mailbag yesterday.
Yeah, Matt says I'll record the game for you. Yeah, well, I'll record it, but
we'll be watching it together probably.
That's right. How is she going to feel about that when everyone's gathered around the TV watching the Notre Dame football game in the middle of the ceremony or the reception or whatever it is? Like, how's right. that going to go over?
I don't think there's any TVs on property, so.
Okay.